And so the reason for Jesus' sacrifice is because none of us is worthy to stand before God. There is a barrier between us and God, but Jesus was sent from the Father to live sinless on our behalf and die on our behalf to provide forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And the fact that Jesus rose from the dead shows that his sacrifice for us was acceptable and pleasing to God. It means his payment cleared, much like if you send a check in and it clears and the bank receives the check back, you know that it was good. The payment for our sins didn't bounce. If Jesus was not a worthy and acceptable sacrifice, he would have remained in the grave and we would still be stuck in our condemnation of our sin. And now the death and resurrection of Jesus not only had bearing for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life for us, but it had bearing in heaven as well. It had a huge impact. This is where we turn to Revelation 5, and I would encourage you to actually turn there or swipe there or tap there, whatever mode of biblical revelation you have. This is one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture, and so bear with me if I get a little passionate as we read and take a quick look at this chapter. And as I'm reading, I'm going to pause at times to explain and to apply so we can see why this chapter is applicable to our time in communion and the resurrection of Jesus. And so you look at 5. Jesus has just sent some letters to the 7 churches, and he is now calling up John to see what is going on in heaven, and he sees this great moment before the throne of God, and worship is continually happening. And just an aside, you'll notice in verses of chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 or 10 are the lines of worship that is happening in heaven. And so for those of us who think worship songs can be too repetitive, here's something that's happening in heaven over and over and over and over again. So repetition ain't all that bad, okay? Just an aside, just to get you all mad at me at the outset. So Revelation 5, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. In these opening verses, we find in the right hand of God a scroll with writing on the inside and out and sealed with 7 seals. And back then, on parchment paper, it was difficult to write on both sides of the paper because of contour and everything. And so it is interesting that there is writing all over this scroll. And so this is not just some ordinary scroll. And a mighty angel calls out to see if anyone is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals. No one is able. Nobody in heaven. So the heavenly host can't open it. Because angels are not the Savior. We don't pray to angels. Nobody on earth can open it. So no one living can open it. And no one under the earth, signifying dead. No one who is dead can open it. No one was found. And John, who is receiving this vision, begins to weep because no one is worthy to open the scroll. And so what is so depressing about this scroll not being able to be opened? And so many believe that this scroll contains something like a will that details the rest of history and the execution of God's covenant with mankind that includes curses for those who reject God and blessings and inheritances for those who follow him. And so essentially, it is the scroll that contains the rest of human history and the redemption of God. And so God's purposes for histories, but the 7 seals prevent the full disclosure and enactment of its content until someone is able to open the scroll. God's covenant, new covenant, is sealed up. and this covenant that we spoke about while we participated in communion. But don't worry, as with everything a person needs, God provides a way. Verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And so one of the elders speaks to John, tells him to cheer up, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And right here, immediately, we see the application of the death and resurrection of Jesus and its effect in heaven. And this is why it is important. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, which was promised to have a king whose scepter will never depart. And Jesus came from the kingly line of David. And Jesus has conquered through his perfect life, death, and resurrection. So he is worthy. And we'll see in the next verses the imagery that portrays his worthiness. And verse 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And so what did we actually just see in verse 5? The elder said, behold, the Lion of Judah. And so when we think of lions, we think power, authority, majesty, strength. Lions are probably one of my favorite animals. I don't like cats, but I like lions. And so lions are just these powerhouses wrapped in majestic beauty. And so we expect John to turn and see this just massive Aslan lion walking onto the stage. But what instead does he see? He sees a sheep. But not just any sheep. He sees a sheep that has been slaughtered, essentially sacrificed. He sees a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes. Instead of seeing a majestic lion, we see a sacrificed lamb. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus in the desert while he was baptizing, what did he call Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, who what? Takes away the sins of the world. This kingly Lion of Judah would conquer through becoming the sacrificial lamb. The seven horns and the seven eyes are symbols to show his complete authority and knowledge and power to save from all the earth. There is no other who is worthy and able to save. And so this lamb, he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so just to pause, there are prayers of God's people from old and even today are heard in heaven. In verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll. And so just notice this. This is a song that has never been sang in heaven before. I just caught that. That just hit me. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign where? Not in heaven. On the earth. So yeah, heaven's going to be nice. New heavens, new earth is going to be better. Better. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and other under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. So with this taking of the scroll, a party bursts forth in heaven. in this surge of praise and worship overtakes the heavens and it overtakes the earth. And they proclaim that it was Jesus' sacrificial death that made him worthy to open the scroll. And so this, I believe, is the fulfillment of the passage that says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. This is the moment, I believe, that text is pointing to, that Jesus is the object of heaven's worship, and it's been the plan since the beginning. And Jesus knew coming and dwelling in the flesh that this was the moment he was living for, when he was going to walk up to the Father to take the scroll that no other hand could even come close to, and he was going to open it up, break the seals, and then we read the rest of Revelation, and all literal hell breaks loose so that the world, the earth, everybody who does not know Jesus would know before it is too late. We aren't here because our family is worthy of our attendance in church. We are not here because it is a worthy endeavor to sit in a pew. We are here because the Lamb was slain and he is worthy to take the scroll and bring the new heavens, the new earth, and to unfurl the rest of history. The rest of history does not truly happen unless Jesus did exactly what he did. There is no other sacrifice for your sin or my sin. There is no other way to bring about the blessing of God other than Jesus Christ and his life, his death, and his resurrection. If Jesus were still in the grave, he would not be in heaven right now walking to take the scroll. I believe this is an ascension passage, that Jesus was risen and ascended to heaven and unfurled the rest of history as he sits in authority at the right hand of the Father, waiting for him to say, "Son, it is time." And he descends with trumpet sound, and everyone is raised to meet him in the air, and the sheep and the goats are separated. That doesn't happen at death. That happens at the second coming. He was able to enter heaven, the heavenly sanctuary, and open the scroll. Jesus, who promised the new covenant and purchased it by his blood and secured it by his resurrection, entered heaven, opened the scroll that no one could open, church. Because he is worthy. It is because of Jesus that history is coming to its culmination in a new heavens and a new earth with God's people dwelling with him. The pain and the anguish we see and feel is not forever. For Jesus has opened the scroll, and people are being called from all nations to believe in him, the one who is worthy. And so if you're here today and you're feeling you're not worthy, join the club. It's not your worthiness that sent Jesus. It was your unworthiness. And so do not lose heart. Jesus took the scroll. He's got you. He's got this. He's got history. No matter what happens in the United States or across the world, Jesus opens the scroll. And so I want to share a song with you. I'm not going to sing it. For reasons, doesn't matter. But it was recently released by Andrew Peterson. We're going to watch the music video up front, Lord willing. The lyrics to the song you will find on the back of your bulletin. Because I think they're powerful. And what I appreciate about Andrew Peterson is by far my favorite contemporary Christian music artist, if you want to put a label like that on it, because of the imagery he uses, the words he uses. He tells stories. He's a great storyteller. But here he ventures into something new. And y'all from the old school church are used to doing like responsive readings. You know, if you open your hymnal, you'll find the responsive readings. He put this song in responsive song form. And so if you'll bear with me and you can follow along, and I would even encourage you as you get the gist of it to sing along, because it is a song that is worthy, I believe, of our attempts to join with him in. And so let's give it a try. So, Father, we are so thankful that you are worthy, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are just waiting for the day when you come in power and glory and might to bring your ransomed children into your kingdom. For you are worthy. And it is through your blood, your sacrifice, and your resurrection that we celebrate today that we have the promise of an eternal kingdom with you. You are worthy, and we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.